Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your work that you're doing against our enemies, Lord. We thank you, Father, for scattering the enemy for us. We just praise you, Father, for doing all that work for us. You're worthy of our praises, Lord, because you're going to take care of us, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We thank you for your anointing upon everybody to share and to speak about the things that you've shown them over this week. And we thank you, Lord, that everything tonight is going to be from you. And not only that, Lord, it's going to be a learning experience for all of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? I want to pray for somebody. Lord, I lift up Bruce to you, and I thank you, Father, for putting bold and great and bold faith in that man. And I thank you, Lord, that you're putting that overcoming power in him. And I praise you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that he's healed. I praise you that he's healed. I thank you, Lord, that he's healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to gain strength every day, every day, every day. I command it in the name of Jesus. And that he's going to be able to tell of the glories of God because he's healed him of this terminal disease that used to be terminal and ain't terminal no more. Because God, you're doing a work in him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for making him to confess that as well. To urge him to confess it every time he opens his mouth that he's healed. And confess it with his mouth, Lord, like you tell us to do. That's how we fight the good fight of faith, by our mouth. And we confess you, Lord, and I thank you for it, Father, in Bruce's life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Andrew. How about a praise report? Where'd that go? Praise report or testimony. Y'all remember when they used to have testimony times at the church? Go ahead, George.
Well, I'll do this quick. Pat did raise his hand too. I don't know if it's a word of knowledge or what it is. Maybe it's just being available and obeying, but I've got a bunch of stale phone numbers in my phone. I just started from A and started hitting people I hadn't talked to in a long time and seeing who was going to answer and leaving, you know, cousins of mine, you know, nobody ever calls them by their full name, you know, so I just sing it to them on the phone and see if they get the message. And I did about three or four, and I got to one of my buddies I hadn't talked to in about 3 years. He answered the phone. He thought I butt dialed him. He said, so he's sitting in his garage, and we talked, and I let him do some talking. He started telling me how he's blind in one eye from almost a stroke from high blood pressure. His wife's on disability with MRSA, got hit real hard. And these are young people, and grandbaby with issues and all this stuff. And I was vaguely aware, but it's kind of like the gift of what are we going to do with this thrown in my lap. And it was a test for me to whether I would agree and coast along or if I would go ahead and let's address this. So I finally ended up just saying, well, you know, before I get in the driveway, me and you fixing to, you know, pray and thank God for our friendship and love and your family and all the blessings and things like that. And I just kept pouring it out. And, you know, this is a guy, he was probably on about his fifth beer, if not his 15th. And that's his routine. But, you know, good friend of mine from way back anyway. soon as I got off the phone with him, he texted me and said, it must have been God that you called and prayed with me to calm me down, because my daughter just called and said she's pregnant again. So he was really blessed. And, you know, I took him way back because I knew he had a Pentecostal background and all this kind of stuff. And I just really, anything I could think of to just hit home with him, I just kept hammering. And it was pretty neat. I thought that was pretty good that, you know, set him up to open his heart to realize how blessed he is. And I'll call him again pretty soon, and we'll water him with the word on what, you know, let it come out of his own mouth. So I'm just thankful for my friend Mike, and appreciate y'all to lean in with me that him and his family are going to really give everything to God.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We just hook our faith up with George for Mike and his family. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to draw him in. We thank you, Lord, that we pray right now that the spirit of harvest would send out laborers to Mike to witness to him also and to bring him in, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you grant repentance to him and his wife and his whole family. He's under curse for one reason, that's all. That's that you would, that he would get his eyes back on you, Lord. And I thank you that you're doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Mike's coming in. We're going to see him up here, I believe. Okay, is he from Waycross? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to say just a brief testimony. We, on my work, on the work front today, no, it was yesterday, the employees there at the store, this store that we're reworking is one of, I don't know if I mentioned it, it's a major chain, chain that's covers the United States. And we're remodeling. They have, you know, presidents and vice presidents and district managers, and it's all kinds of things. Well, the vice president, I think, of this organization visited our particular store yesterday, and I think they had known it was going to be happening for a few days or maybe even a week or something like that, because the manager of the store there he was very short and, you know, abrupt and biting and critical, and you know, everything we were doing was wrong and whatever. You know, when you're doing this type of a project, it's like remodeling your kitchen or your bathroom or something, and you still have to use the kitchen and the bathroom. So let's just say you're tearing the ceilings out and remodeling all the walls and changing all the cabinetry and everything like that, but yet you still have to cook dinner every day, and so you're constantly having to adjust and make even though you have a job that you have to get done, because they paid you to do a particular job, you still have to work in the midst with, you know, people so that they're able to, you know, do their job, or, you know, they're able to sell product and that sort of thing. So there's this constant tension in the air all the time of trying to balance between those two. And the managers are usually the ones that are kind of carrying the brunt of that, because they have to see the job get done, but yet they still have to make profits and all this sort of thing. So they're under a lot of pressure, and we had been feeling kind of the immediate pushback at a lot of things that were needing to be done and whatnot there in the store on the construction side. And I think because they knew that this visit was coming up and everybody was trying to, you know, look, best for the situation at hand. Well, so the regional manager that is overseeing the construction aspect of this project, for the last couple, we meet every Thursday in a kind of a coordination type of meeting. And for the last few weeks, I've noticed that his attitude, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like he's very pleased at what's happening in the building in our project here. The first time, few times he came, and he was picking all kinds of things out, and he'd have a list and a punch list or a 10 question list of stuff that we needed to get done, and it was, that whole thing has changed in such that when he walks through the process, he's now speaking positive. Well, this looks good, that looks good, and making these type of comments. And so the vice president who came through the property, I think yesterday, I wasn't even aware of it. So, but they came through, and a whole management team from corporate came through, along with this regional manager that oversees our project, and every week he goes through the process. And they all walked the project, and I didn't even know it, but they were just very happy and pleased by the way things looked, and everything was together, and even though coming from my perspective and our perspective, like things are in a constant upheaval and turmoil and trying to get things done and trash around over here, and you got to clean up this and sweep up that and correct somebody for leaving something out. That constant thing is always happening on my side, but they came through and were very positive. There's just a very positive outlook on the thing, to the point it made it to our office, and everybody's happy that they're not getting reamed out, which is kind of different, So I don't know all of what is happening. All I know is that I think the Lord is just, he is blessing the place. That's all there is to it. So I'm very happy. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for helping Pat out. We thank you, Lord, for showing favor to him and his crew. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord, for what you're showing all of us through this trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, I kind of got something, testimony about kind of along with what Pat was saying there. My job, it's getting a little better. Got a testimony. Well, I'm trying to think what I was going to exactly talk about there. I had a lot of stuff I thought about today. I was like, what should I speak about? But for one thing, when you prayed for me, I believe it was last week, my back, totally healed. I should have brought that up last week, but no, it's totally healed. I thought that was awesome. It didn't happen. Wasn't one of those instant ones, but the next morning I noticed that I remember bending over and grabbing my shoes to go to work, and it used to be a struggle. But then I just kind of bent over, grabbed them, and got right back up and went to doing whatever it was. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. But that's one praise report. But work, I've noticed subtleties. Since last week, I think we started praying for it. But especially today, I was driving around, and the boss, my boss, there's always been issues between us coworkers and him. There's never been it's a very strained relationship between a lot of the veterans, older guys who've been there for double-digit years. You know, they've been there much longer than me. I've only been with the company for almost 3 years now. But he's been, you know, my boss has probably been there 10, 11 years, you know, and I guess he's just kind of changed a lot of things around, you know, rubbed the veterans the wrong way. And he's about my age. So I mean, I can understand, you know, the generational gap and all that stuff. So there's a lot of tension there. So that's been one of the biggest issues is I've been like caught in the middle of it all. And, you know, I hear from everybody what's wrong. And, but I mean, this was quite encouraging for me because there was one of the older gentlemen who's I think one of the oldest forklift drivers, you know, who's been with the company. He's very outspoken. I mean, you know, I mean, not afraid to just, you know, stand up for what he believes and speak it. And I mean, yeah, he was one of the few there for a while. I mean, wasn't afraid to always tell me, you know, Brad, our, you know, is my boss's name, Brad this, Brad that, you know, this is a horrible decision, what he did. And, yeah, I mean, sometimes, I mean, I've gotten better about, I guess, you know, getting myself caught up in those conversations. I mean, it's still tough from time to time, but I noticed it today as I was driving down an aisle way, you know, right by one of the entrances, putting up a pallet, you know, driving down the aisle way on my forklift, and I saw him come out. You know, I think it's lately is, I want to say quarterly reviews or something like that. I got mine today. And, but he was sitting there talking to John. John is his coworker, you know, older gentleman, and they're both there working. And I wasn't so much eavesdropping. I just was kind of taking my time a bit to put this pallet up, but I was encouraged to just see them sit there and listen and talk. I mean, cause I guess in a sense they have before, but it's always been tense. You know, there's been that animosity, at least from John to Brad, you know, not so much the other way around. I mean, you know, if it comes from Brad, it's, I guess, from a defensive standpoint. He's always trying to defend himself. So, I mean, at times it's been very tense between the two. But it seemed very carefree and relaxed that those two, I forget what exactly they were talking about, but it was encouraging to see, okay, they're here talking. You know, John was laughing, and then Brad would interject with something. And I found that quite encouraging. I was like, wait a minute, these two usually weren't so much at each other's throats, but John was wanting to wring his neck, you know, every other day it seemed like. But then here comes, okay, now they're talking, you know, because I mean, for like the last week or so, I've been praying, Lord, you know, I pray for reconciliation, you know, pray that, you know, the healing would begin from the past. I mean, there's a lot of hard feelings amongst people, you know, for things that have been done. And not to get into too much detail, but John, I mean, I think a lot of the bitterness and the unforgiveness from his part was he felt very wronged by the company when he got injured about a couple weeks before I started. So, I mean, it was understandable. I mean, I can understand how he feels, you know, and I think it's probably getting better. But I mean, I was encouraged at least to see that, you know, that, and I've seen others, other little things, him and another coworker who just, I mean, have always been the loudest about complaining about things. I haven't heard it lately. You know, I mean, those little subtleties, like you said, Pat, you know, when you notice them, you notice those subtleties when you pray about it. And I have noticed some things, you know, and I just want to pray, I'd like to pray for that situation, you know, myself, and, even, you know, also pray for myself. I mean, going through trials this week, and, confess, you know, I mean, kind of dealing with some of those trials of dealing with the flesh. You know, I found myself getting caught up in some things I thought I overcame, but I mean, you know, I kind of came back around the bend a little bit there, and, dealt with some things again, opened the door to some unforgiveness, but you know, kind of pray against that. But yeah, I want you guys to agree with me, you know, concerning the continual work situation that God would move, and just, you know, myself, you know, so yeah. All right. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. You know, not just in my life, but in everybody's life here. Thank you, Lord, for this little fellowship of ours, and you know, bringing us all together, Lord God. You know, you have great things for us, Lord. I do believe, you know, I thank you for what you have for us, you know, coming. And I thank you for what you're doing in this group. You know, I thank you for the testimony before of Pat, Lord, and what you will do in a work situation. What you know, how you will just turn it all around for your glory, ultimately. We thank you for that encouragement, Lord. Thank you, and we pray that you continue to work in that situation, and continue to use Pat, and just even, if not just to plant seeds, but to lead people to salvation, however that'll work, Lord. We just pray for that. And Lord, I just lift up my situation. I thank you for just this, how the attention, how that hostility amongst one another, how the faction, the division, the hatred, all those hard feelings, Lord, are becoming less and less. I thank you for that. I thank you that, in the morning during our pre-shift meetings, before we start the day, they're not tense anymore, Lord, like they used to be. They're not, where people are afraid to speak up, fear of offending the boss or offending somebody else. Lord, I thank you for seeing those changes. Even the boss, I see his attitude is changing. When I sat in on that quarterly, review, I felt some tension, but nothing like I used to, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you're working in that. And I pray for continued working in my job there. Pray that you continue to work on the hearts of those who you want to save, Lord, your elect. Thank you, Lord, for the elect there, and I pray, Lord, that they would continue to see Jesus in me, that, Lord, you would continue to work on them, but, Lord, that you would change their hearts most of all. Bring them to that point, Lord, to where whoever it is, I don't know who it is, Lord, but you do. Pray that, change their hearts, bless them daily, change their attitudes about work, about working there. Help them to be cooperative, Lord, to be willing to work with others that they don't agree with, but even, Lord, to reconcile and help me most of all. Lord, I cannot say that I've ever truly lately reconciled with those that I've wronged or who have offended me. And Lord, I pray this, this is a growing opportunity for me to deal with the flesh, to kill the flesh in this area, and to finally reach out to those that I've wronged or those who have wronged me and, seek their forgiveness or just to forgive them if needed. I pray, Lord, you'd give me wisdom in this area. Holy Spirit, lay it on my heart, whoever it is I need to. I have several people in mind, at least one or two, but whoever it is, Lord, that are your elect and the ones that you want to save, Lord, help me in this area. And I just continue to pray for, that DHL there would be a place of peace, Lord. It would just, there'd be such a unity there and just a sweet spirit about that place that when people come and all the drivers, all the carriers that we accommodate, that, Lord, they would be glad to come. May it be a place where every person who walks in that building thinks, wow, there's something different about that place, that they would know the difference. Lord, that all our customers who would come through the door and, walk through the warehouse would notice a difference about the place. They would feel a difference. I thank you, Lord, for our major customer, Tropicana. Lord, we pray for the relationship between them. Whatever strains are there, whatever problems. I mean, as I was talking to my boss today, I was, talking about just the, how does that relationship or how does that, work? Who signs our paychecks and all that. But I mean, we're basically working for Tropicana, Lord, we ask for a mending of relationships there, a mending of, however that works, Lord, of a business, relationship that, Lord, but that you would create favor, Lord, for us in that area, that we would even get the funds necessary to fix up, whatever we need to, or to even expand the business, whatever it is, Lord, I ask, Lord, this for DHL, and I ask, Lord, that you would just bless them at Tropicana. Give them wisdom daily to make the right decisions, Lord, that would benefit us over at DHL, and elsewhere. But most of all, us there in the Cincinnati area, that would ultimately benefit us and make our job a lot better, you know, make us strive to be better, you know, employees, but just overall to be better, Lord, and to ultimately for your glory. So Lord, I thank you ahead of time for what you're doing there. I just continue to do what you're doing, you know, and I just will continue to give you the glory and honor, Lord, because ultimately that's where it is from. So thank you for that. And Lord, I want to lift myself up. I thank you for just the things you're showing me lately. Lord, I must confess I have not had the best attitude about, you know, things at work. Forgive me. I thank you that you've been long suffering with me. You've been kind. You know, I mean, I thank you that you continue with me despite my many failures. And Lord, continue to give me grace, you know, much grace, Lord, to deal with the enemy, to keep fighting the good fight, to keep fighting the enemy. Lord, help me to take, you know, most of all, I think, you know, a big part of that, you know, those failures is a poor, you know, view. I mean, I wouldn't say a relationship, but a poor view of your word, Lord. Lord, I must confess, I don't have the best attitude about your word. I haven't really, as far as I can remember, you know, Lord, I must confess that I ask for a better desire, a greater desire, but a better attitude towards your word, to take it serious and to obey it, you know, and to just read it more and more, Lord. You know, I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, I want to pray for all of my brothers and sisters here, you know, that you would just continue to work in us, whatever it is we struggle with, you know, that Lord, help us to continue to lean on you, to rest in you, knowing that you will do that work. And Lord, help us, you know, help us not to backslide, Lord. Put in us a heart that'll keep going forward no matter what happens and no matter what's coming, that we will choose to serve you no matter what. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray all these things, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for Joe's humbleness. Father, we ask and we pray, Lord, that you put it in his heart to, you know, even those that have hurt him, that he would go and apologize to him and humble himself, even though they did to him. But just like you've told us all, Lord, just make it right with him, whether we're wrong or whether we're right. You know, make no never mind, as we say. But it does. What makes a difference is the attitudes of people toward us. And Father, that would humble him. Not only that, it'd kill his flesh too. And not only that, it'd make it better in his work area. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joe. Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you put a hunger for the word in Joe, that you place that hunger deep down in his spirit, that he can't be satisfied until he's reading the word of God and he's understanding what the word of God says, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's like George posted there, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I believe it. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Chris.
Hey, Michael, can I share a little something?
Yes, sir.
I've been real blessed listening to y'all's discussions about your workplace and whatnot. And those of you that know me well, I have an extraordinarily stressful job. And I've been evaluating that. And I took a vacation a few weeks back. And my total intent on that vacation was to seek the Lord and get in the word and try to figure out what was let the Lord lead me and guide me into making some good decisions based on what to do in my work. And the first night I was off, I spent quite a bit of time in prayer. In fact, I think I missed one of the conference calls and I spent quite a bit of time in prayer, and somewhere during the night I had a real quick dream, and I've really enjoyed and I've really been blessed by what the Lord has taught me from this dream, and I wanted to share it with fellowship here and hear what y'all had to say about it. But in this dream, it was just me and this other person, and it was a man, very regally dressed, very simple, and very authoritative presence. And it didn't take me long to figure out that that was Jesus standing before me. And I felt absolutely no pressure. I was in the dream. I was full of awe, and I was, you know, extremely humbled. And Jesus asked me one question. The question was, how would you introduce yourself to me? And I woke up, and it was real quick, but I woke up and I was thinking, well, you know, if I met the Lord right now, how would I introduce myself to him? And I went through my mind on my accomplishments and my degrees and all the things that I've done in my life. And I started to express that to the Lord, and he said, that's not what I want to hear, and kind of left it open-ended. And so that was the first night of my vacation. And as I went through that time that I had off, my wife was off with me, and we spent many, many days asking ourselves questions and evaluating our lives and where we were. And because of that one simple question that the Lord asked me, I really got down to answering his question honestly. And, you know, I think we're coming to a time where we're going to have to answer that question for real. And every morning now I wake up as I have been back to work, and I kind of see how I interact with people and how I do my job and how important it is that I serve the Lord as believing I am a disciple of his as to what I've accomplished in my life for myself. So I just wanted to share that with you, with the group.
Well, Chris, what did you finally tell him?
Well, if the Lord is standing before me right now, I would say, I believe I'm a disciple of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Anybody, that's a good one, Chris. We'll see if we can run that around everybody here shortly. Does anybody need prayer or want a testimony or praise report? Yeah, Marlon. Or Marlon. Your name's Marlon. It says right down there on the bottom. It says Marlon. Hey, Gano, go ahead, huh?
I don't know. Am I unmuted?
Yes, ma'am, you are. It's kind of volume's kind of low, but that's okay. We can hear you.
Okay. Our computer keeps saying we don't have a good connection, so I don't know. We cut out all the time, so I'm not sure.
But I can hear you.
I just wanted to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for me. And I don't remember if we ever shared when Marlon was kind of going through a really tough time this summer. I had a couple incidences that, health incidences that happened while our girls were here. And, you know, if they weren't here, we would simply just pray about it and that would be the end of it. But our daughters were pretty insistent that I go to the doctor because they knew their dad wasn't well and they didn't want something happening to me too. So they insisted I go to the doctor. Well, you know, they run their tests and they find what they say they find. And so a month ago when I went in, they were giving me all the bad report that, in June one time I came in and I guess I was disorientated and I didn't know what was going on. I totally forgot that Marlon was on a feeding tube and that's how we give him water. And, you know, I was sitting there with this blank look and they were really, our daughter was really concerned about that. And she just was insisting I go in and I was just saying, oh, it's just, you know, I'm just tired and that's where it's at. And she wasn't letting it go. So finally I did go in, and they had me take a stress test, which I didn't pass. And they did some other testing, and they proceeded to tell me that it showed that I had a blockage somewhere and that my heart wasn't pumping a sufficient amount of blood for me, and that I had a very weak valve and the blood was sloshing back in. It was back sloshing, I guess, is what they said. And so they were telling me all these things. And so then they insisted I have a heart cath, and I just kept saying, my heart's healed, I'm fine. And but they the girls didn't want to drop it. So I did go ahead and do what they wanted me to do, more to set them at ease than us. But anyway, when I had the appointment this past week, they said nothing showed up at all. There was no blockage, and my heart didn't show that it was. Yeah, that's what I say too. Didn't show that my heart wasn't pumping like it ought to, and everything was fine. And it was like, praise the Lord. It was really awesome, because I've had a lot of symptoms, and Marlon and I, we just say, oh, they're just lying symptoms, and we cast them down and pray over it, and they're gone, and then it comes in another form. It's like, goodness sakes, it just can't decide how it wants to attack you, so it goes from one thing to the other. But anyway, I just was so thankful that the Lord just showed himself strong, and none of that stuff showed up, and we just praise the Lord for that. And also, Marlon was in yesterday, and we'd been praying for his, they said his liver enzymes were high, and so we were praying for that, and they said everything's back to normal, so with his liver enzymes, and we're just thanking the Lord for that. And he has been so faithful, and it's just amazing to us how our daughters will call and they're praying for this, and they join us in when we ask for prayer. They're right there to say, we're agreeing with you. And so it's been a really hard, long haul, it seems like. I still would love to have more energy, but I know it's coming, because the Lord's not short. He's not short of energy. But we just thank him so much for his faithfulness to his word and what he's doing in our family. And just thank him for all of you and for the Bible studies and the teleconferences. A lot of times we can't get on our phone. We have basically no phone service, and our computer's not working good either. Half the time it kicks us off. And it's been, even since I've been on this evening, it's been saying that I have a poor connection, and then everything just kind of shuts down and I don't hear anything. I can still see you, but I can't hear anything. So I know you're still talking, but it's just our connection's bad. So we need to find somebody we've been praying that the Lord's going to fix that. He's going to return our phone service. We haven't had that phone service for almost a month now. And they say they're coming the first week of October. So we'll see. They sent us a bill, though. But anyway, so I just...
I don't forget the bills, do they?
Yeah, I'm going to call them back. Tell them I think they owe us. But anyway, I'd like to thank everyone for your prayers and your support. And we just love you all, and we pray for you, and thank you very much. That's all I had to share. Thank you.
Amen. Well, you didn't mess up one time that time. You were loud and strong the whole time. Praise God.
Lord, we thank
you. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that her phone service is going to be real soon. When these people said the 1st of October, that's what they're going to do. And I thank you for it, Father, putting it in their heart to get out there and fix Marlon's and gain those phone service where they could have phone. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Nope. Thank you.
Okay. Praise God. Marlon's doing better. You're doing better. We're doing better. Everybody's doing better. Praise God. Yeah. You know something? The thought came to me just a minute ago while you were talking, that all of this is working together for the good, That all this whole test is brought your daughters together. It's brought all your family together, and they're praising God, they're praying, and man, I tell you what, it's amazing.
It truly is. We just hear something new coming out of their mouth when we talk to them, and the text that they send, and it's just a blessing.
Amen.
It's been a trial, but it's truly is a blessing, and we know that it has just really brought our family together in a strong way. And I guess while I'm talking, I just like to thank everyone there for supporting Greg and the Bible study that he has there.
Yep.
We know that, you know, he has shared with us that some of them have fixed some meals for the group that gets together, and sounds like they have a pretty good sized group right now. So.
Yeah, he's telling us the other night that he's got somewhere around 15 going up there now.
Yeah, I guess there was even a few more than that. And so it's been going good, and I just thank the Lord for his blessing upon that Bible study.
Amen. Okay. We're praying for revival out there too.
Sure are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe it's going to happen. Okay. Thank you, Gano. Mm-hmm. Anybody else got a testimony or need to pray about something? Well, I want to pray. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of faction out of Missy's house right now. In the name of Jesus, I command it to go. I command that TV to be turned off in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that TV is going to stay off, and that the Word of God is going to be more important than watching news items from the factious side of the government. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that I command that anger to go from me, Merle. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I command complete peace in his heart, that God has this in his hands. And the things that he's seeing doesn't mean anything. It's God working in these people that's going to mean something. Lord, I thank you that you're going to confirm Kavanaugh, bring him into the office, and then Merle's going to say, what was I worried about? Because Lord, we know that you're the one that's in charge, and we've already sent the angels over there to take care of business. And we know what's happening even as we speak right now in Jesus' name. And we just ask and we pray, Father, for a change of heart for Merle. We thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the truth, and that he'd want the truth more than anything else in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Father, that you're doing our work in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe it. Yeah, I will say something about watching these news things. Boy, you can get all kinds of irate watching the news, because they don't have anything good to say. There's nothing good to say. It's all bad news. Everything is bad news. You know what's good news? What's good news is the Word of God and believing. Have y'all been? Yeah, there you go, Tim. And believing. Did y'all listen to the broadcast Sunday or Wednesday yesterday? Well, I didn't listen to it, but I know what David was talking about. And we're supposed to be praising God that these angels are out there fixing this government, fixing the things that we want him to fix. And we just praise him for that. And that's what we've been doing. Man, every time we get together, we stand up and praise God that the victory has been won. And that's what we're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that the victory has been won. We praise you, Father, that the victory has been won, that Marlon's victory, Gano's victory, everybody on this outreach's victory has been taken care of, we have the victory, because you said if we'll just praise you, all we have to do is just thank you and praise you. And he'll send them angels out to do whatever it is we need them to do. And we thank you, Lord, for taking care of the enemy and bringing our family into the house of God. And we thank you for it, Father. Woo, we just praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I know it's done. Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I thank you for all the workplaces that these guys have been praying for. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to see a mighty miracle in those workplaces. People are going to have a smile on their face and a skip in their walk because of the prayers that these men have taken time to do. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, y'all believe that? And, Lord, we thank you for Joe and Nora's situation over in South Africa, Lord. I ask that you send your angels over there to take care of business in that political arena over there. That's just a murdering, thieving, political takeover over there, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to send your angels over there to straighten that out in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for all the Christian chosen safety, Father, in Jesus' name. All your chosen safety in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I was encouraged. I just saw a news item or something come across where the Sudanese government gave back churches, like 14 churches or something like that, that they had held for like 2 years. It was a surprise decision that they basically gave favor back to these people. And I just want to claim that that's the first of many good reports that all of these wicked governments and these gates of hell will not stand against the body of Christ. And we come in to unity with the body of Christ and lift up our brothers and sisters in these countries where the governments are oppressive and they have enemies that have been putting a hurting on Christian communities for a while and drawing them unto you. And Lord, I thank you that you have drawn them unto you, but now is the time for you to stand up for your people and show these people where the line is drawn. And Father, I thank you that you have drawn the line, that you love your people, and that you are going to show yourself mighty on their behalf, and that it's going to be like a city on a hill, and it's going to shine in those dark places, and the places with the worst reputations are being turned around right now in the name of Jesus, that the salt and the light is effective in those areas. And I thank you for Africa, Father, that the joy of the Lord is their strength and their season of mourning and weeping in the night is over. And joy is coming in the morning, that you are dawning on Africa in a big way, a mighty way, Lord. The word of God is coming out of their mouth and they're wielding their sword. You're arming them with the truth of the gospel and everything that Jesus, the captain of our salvation, has provided is being displayed in abundance in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you that we'll hear good report after good report. The reign of the enemy in these lands is over, and there will be revival and there will be life in those areas. And the spirit of fear, I cancel your oppression and I cancel your assignments. And I tell you to go back to whoever sent you. You go back, you go where Jesus wants you to go, but you have to stop harassing the body of Christ in those areas. And Father, I thank you for faith flowing into those people and joy again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord, I think it's done too. Pat, you asked here a couple of few times ago about if we could do that. We've done it, ain't we? I believe it's happening too. Look, you remember when the Lord told him, he said, this is my battle. Y'all don't worry about it. Go ahead and send your praise team out there first, and I'm going to show you something. You remember that? He took care of business, didn't he? That's what he's doing now. He's taking care of business. We're praising him. Remember what happened? Sennacherib's army, 185,000 of them, died one night. Sennacherib went back home and got killed by his son. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about, Sennacherib. But I like to call him Sennacherib. But he's gone. He's gone. And that's the way God wants to take care of us. Remember what happened at Jericho? Same thing. Same thing. Them angels didn't knock them walls down. They pushed them down in the ground. Praise God. That's, I know you talk about some power now. We got some power backing us up. Praise God. And he uses us just to do the things that he wants us to do. He puts it in our heart what to pray for, and we pray for it, and God does it. God does it. Amen. Oh, man, I'm getting old. Man, come, Lord Jesus. All right, anybody? Anybody else?
Let's praise God for the coming red wave, the coming Red Sea. I don't know if you heard. Well, I mean, if you, I don't know if you check out Fox News much, but they talked about down in Texas, I think a border town, or, you know, down there by the border of Mexico, there was a, you know, this was just a, I think it kind of dawned on me. I thought, well, this is just a glimpse of what's coming, you know, and it's just like God giving us a taste of what's coming. And it was down there. It's, I think it was a state race. And the Democrats have held that area for like 139 years. And this gentleman, who is an ex game warden, you know, a Mexican gentleman, he wanted to, you know, I forget by how many points, but I mean, what I thought was more amazing was that God has the least likely people you thought that would vote for him, you know, the Hispanics and the blacks, you know, have always voted Democrat. You know, they've always given in, I mean, to the lies of the Democrats, but there's been a mass exodus, if you know of anything, of those from the, you know, from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, or just leaving the Democratic Party. And they said that like 76% of the population down there was black and Hispanic. And this gentleman won. And after 139 years, you know, the Democrats no longer control that area. So I believe that's a sign of what's to come.
What was he going on Trump's policies?
Pretty much, just conservative policies. He talked about one gentleman I saw on YouTube. I think it was Newt Gingrich talked about how, hey, if every Republican in this coming, you know, election just goes on the idea of pro-life, you know, he talked about, you know, because there's, I mean, a lot of the Hispanics down there are, or, I mean, yeah, basically from what I understand, all of them are Catholic. So they are pro-life, you know, they believe in the importance of life. And he hit on that. He talked about the dangers of illegal immigration and a couple other things, but basically just a conservative agenda, you know, a America first agenda, which is what Trump's talking about. And yeah, he won, you know, the Lord has changed a lot of hearts. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for the coming red wave, the coming Red Sea, Lord. We thank you as you've said there, there's no new thing under the sun, Lord. You know, you're going to repeat it once again. We thank you that this time it's not the Egyptians, but it's the deep state, Lord. We thank you for that coming Red Sea, Lord, that will destroy our enemies. But ultimately, I remember David saying, Lord, that, you know, that just as Moses, as he parted the Red Sea, Lord, and you showed yourself strong to the children of Israel, Lord, you're going to show the rest of the United States, but you're going to show your people most of all, Lord, who you really are. We thank you, Lord, that, when this red wave envelops the nation, when it come time in November, Lord, when you show yourself strong, you're going to show your people, this is who I am, Lord. You know, this is who I've always been, and this is who I will be. We thank you, Lord. We praise you that for this coming, Father. We thank you for it in the Jesus name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. It's done. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Lord, I thank you that every office that's open, political office that's open in the U.S. government, the Senate and the House, that are open for re-election this year, Father, that the Red Sea would swamp them, that it would just be a... And I thank you, Lord, that this Kavanaugh hearing today wakes up a lot of folks, show them what lunatics are up there running this country. And Father, I thank you that the red wave is fixing to sweep across this land in an unprecedented way. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting your angels out there doing the work for us, in Jesus' name, and smiting the enemy and causing confusion amongst their ranks, Lord, where they're just fighting once among one another. Just like you defeated all them armies out there, the Ammonites and the Moabites. You did that with them. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I got a verse that's been the last couple of days. It's really what we're talking about here, and it reminds us that indeed the Lord is in control. But Ecclesiastes 5 and 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor, way of justice and righteousness in a province, marvel not at the matter, for one higher than the high regardeth. But God's watching over everything, and he knows what's going on. We don't have to worry about it. Just got to pray and send the angels to complete his mission.
Yeah, I like that. Can I repeat it again? I'm going to repeat it again, because I can do that. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent taking away of justice and righteousness in a province, marvel not at the matter, for one higher than the high regards it, and there are higher than they. In other words, God's in control, is he not? God's in control. Praise the Lord. Somebody raised their hand. Who was that? Is that you, Missy? Okay, go ahead.
Talking about the Red Sea and the election and all in November, I'd like to pray for someone without naming the person in my family who really is so opinionated and pushes their views and keeps coming at me about voting and not the fact that I don't vote and all. And listen, I don't think this person realizes, I don't let it cause a problem between us. I just keep my mouth shut because I don't want to get in an argument. I just don't say anything, you know, and I think this person is bothered by that. And sometimes they're very curt, you know, and kind of a little annoyed with me at least. And Lord, I just pray that you show this person that their opinions and their forcibly speaking about their opinions causes a wall to go up between this person and other people, Lord. Help this person to know this, Lord. Speak to them, Lord, and show them this. Even if it takes a bad experience, whatever it takes, Lord, show this person, Lord, that they are causing problems, they're causing division between, that's what that wall is, Lord, and just help that person to know and understand that, that Lord, this kingdom, this government is not your kingdom. Help this one to know, Lord, that they are a part of your kingdom. It's most important, and their focus need to be on your kingdom, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord, and not be concerned about the kingdom of men, Lord. You scolded the Israelites for wanting a king, just like the rest of the nations, Lord. You are our ruler, Lord, to be reigning on the throne of our hearts, Lord, and not desiring to be reigned over by man, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask you to bring this one to this understanding and this knowledge. Give them a revelation of this, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. And help this one to know what your heart is, and have you be one with you and have the same heart as you about this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is this person a Christian?
I rebuke a spirit of patriotic spirit in the name of Jesus from this person. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I command the blinders off this person's eyes in the name of Jesus. And the spirits that have blinded this person's eyes in the name of Jesus, I command them to go. Give this person eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what you had to say about it, not what man has to say, not the opinions of the worldly, not the opinions of the patriotic people. Our allegiance is to you and you alone, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for giving this one this revelation and understanding and knowledge and a desire to love you above country. And want to love you first in all things. I just tear down that idol in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the victory. And I can't wait to hear, Lord, the change of heart, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, while you were praying, I was thinking this. You know, our votes in an election don't mean near as much as our prayers. That's what got Trump elected, is our prayers got Trump elected, not my vote or your vote or any Christian's vote, but the prayers of God, the prayers of God's saints is what brought him in. And that's more powerful than a voting machine, I guarantee you. That's subject to going south on you. You know?
Amen.
And we're ambassadors of Christ's kingdom. And as such, we don't have nothing to do with this world. We have to live in it. We want the best for it. But our allegiance is to the Lord, not to America. That's right. Praise God. Lord, we think that this man or woman or whatever it is going to change in Jesus' name.
Amen. And thank you, Lord, for delivering this one from pride and self-righteousness too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Amen. It's done.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Hey, Pat, how would you introduce yourself to Jesus? I'm just asking.
Would I need to?
Well, if the Lord asked you to give you, how would you do that? That gave you that question. What would you tell him?
I don't know. I have to think about that for a minute.
I
would be on the spot, probably like I am now. I would be looking right at him, saying nothing.
I
am what I am by what you've placed in me. You know?
Chris came up with a good answer. You know what a disciple is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a follow and learner of Christ. That's a good answer. Another would be that I am a believer, Lord, in you. And that, you know, that's just what I'm thinking. Somebody else probably got a better answer than I do.
When you, when Chris mentioned that, I thought of that, that verse when Jesus saying that I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, but don't joy in that, but joy in the fact that your name is written in heaven.
Yes, Luke 10:19.
Yeah. And as far as introducing myself, I'm not sure. I would, I guess, be speechless until I could come up with a, again, I would be only there because of what the Lord has done in opening up my eyes and giving me his life to walk in. As far as an explanation, I'm not sure, or an introduction. I don't know what I would say.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else? I'm going to pick somebody. I'm going to do it. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I think Jesus asked one of his disciples, who do you say I am? I think it's important to not doubt to introduce myself. I know you're son of a living God. So I'd like to follow you.
Amen. You're the son of the living God, and I'm your follower. I'm trying to get in your footsteps. Turn around, Lord. I'm going to get in your footsteps. You know? Yeah, amen. That's a good answer. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
I'm your younger brother, and I'm adopted, and you got to tell me what Dad wants.
Good answer. I like it. That's good. All right. You just got to tell me, Lord. Amen. All right, George, what would you say to him? How would you introduce George to the Lord?
I think I would say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And
that's a good one.
That I fear missing out on any promise that you paid for.
Amen. Amen.
Can I have that one too?
Yeah. You want that one too, Andrew? Okay. Praise God. What about it, Tim? There's some good answers now, I'm telling you.
Well, I had a minute to think about it while you were cornering everybody else, but what came to mind, that poem you see of the footprints on the beach, there's two sets of footprints, and you look back, and then there's just one.
Yeah.
And I would be saying, thank you, Jesus, for carrying me at times when I couldn't do it or was going the wrong way, and straightened me out. Grabbing me by the scruff of the neck when I was, you know, headed in the wrong direction. And but mainly thank you for carrying me when I couldn't do it myself.
Amen. Amen. But how would you introduce yourself to him?
I'm trying to be the disciple. I've been studying the manual and show me where I'm going wrong and let me follow you.
Amen. Okay, Missy.
I would say, by faith through grace, my name is Jesus.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Amen. That's it, though?
I think that's a lot.
Okay, yeah, it is. It is. That's a lot. Okay, praise God. All right, Joe DeBrosi, you're up.
Well, it's funny he brought that up because I guess I've had those, I've had these thoughts lately. You know, I just, I mean, if the Lord actually showed up to me, and you know, well, to be honest, I'm more like you, Pat. I'd be speechless probably. I wouldn't know what to say. You know, I and what kind of dawned on me, I've had these thoughts, and when I, you know, I think it's, if I remember, it's been kind of during the time of worshiping the Lord. I've had some powerful times lately, and they've been more and more. The more I worship the Lord, and you know, in song, and the more powerful they get, or just, you know, they're still there. You know, because I mean, it seems like I used to have to just work them up in the flesh, but it just seems like it's becoming natural anymore. But I mean, like the thoughts would come, you know, if the Lord came to me, I said, you know, just like, I mean, acknowledging, Lord, it's you, you know, and just, I mean, weeping before the Lord of just tears of joy, you know, it is really you, you know, and I mean, just thinking, I mean, because it's all the, through all the struggles, you know, all the suffering, all the pain, I mean, you know, all those things, you know, just the trials and tribulations that I was thinking about, there's a powerful testimony of a missionary to Iran. He went, you know, and he was actually tortured for many days, and you know, God opened the door to give, you know, for him to give his testimony to, you know, I think it was aired all over national television and you know, Iran. You know, he talked about Jesus, but I remember he said he was tortured, and then eventually there was one day where he was basically, you know, at his end, and he tried to commit suicide, and during that time at his lowest, you know, Jesus came to him, visited him, and I forget exactly what his response was, but I can imagine, I don't know, at times I think, you know, just all the struggles and all the trials and all the suffering, you know, when I finally meet the Lord, you know, I don't think I really have a confident answer to say anything, you know, but just tears of joy would come and say, Lord, thank you, you know, I mean, thank you for your mercy, now that I think about it, but just, you know, just those tears of joy that he's here, you know, that he's with me, you know, and that he loves me, I think, most of all, you know, when I think about it, and then, yeah, you know, there would be such joy in his, you know, presence, so, yeah, so, I mean, I would probably be speechless, you know, thinking, man, I don't deserve to be in your presence right now, I don't deserve to even follow you, but, you know, I thank you for your mercy, Lord, most of all.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Megan, what would you do? How would you introduce yourself to Jesus? Let me unmute you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
This could be loving despite of like difficult mishap and such.
Are you cutting out a little bit there? I'm having trouble understanding what you were saying.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, now I can hear you.
There we go.
With a loving God, despite my mishap, and such, hello?
Yeah, I'm not understanding. Yeah, you're cutting out too much, I guess, Megan. I'm not really sure what you're saying. It's that bad.
Oh.
Yeah, it's didn't anybody understand what she was saying? No, we couldn't understand. Nobody could understand. It's a bad connection, I guess. Okay. Well, we'll come back to you in a minute. All right. I think Tracy's working, so we're not going to bother her. Gaino, how would you introduce yourself to Jesus?
Well,
I would probably be speechless also, but yeah. I just would say I'm thankful that I'm a daughter of the King.
Amen.
You know, I just have felt his close presence so much recently that I'm just thankful. Thankful that he's here, that he's with us. I guess that's all I would say.
Okay. Well, that's enough. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. It, you know, we say that we say these things, and we probably would say some things to him, you know. How would, if he asked us, how would you introduce yourself to Jesus? And if he was coming in his power, guess how we'd do it? On our knees. We'd be on our knees. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be even this close to you. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but I sure am glad you're doing it. I thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Then just want to be just hanging out with him from now on, right? Just want to hang out with you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, anybody else got anything else they'd like to? And that's how Jesus told me about the complete story of life. Hey, Pat. I'm just messing with you.
What did I miss?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's not fair.
Well, you just missed people's testimony about how they'd introduce themselves to Jesus. And it's some good stuff. It's really good stuff. And everybody had a different answer, you know, basically, you know. But it was good. I had asked Missy to, there was a song that she sent me this afternoon that was awesome. I had heard it before, but it's been a while since I'd listened to it. Were you able to find it and figure it out, Missy? Uh-oh, she froze up. You figure it out? You want me to do it? I can't hear you.
I sent you What a Beautiful Name?
Yeah, it was from you.
Are you sure? If I sent you Forever Rain.
Do what?
I thought I sent you Forever Rain.
Uh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess there's nothing by accident, huh?
Well, that's right. The Beautiful Name. Really? Well, I wouldn't have said it if I hadn't have just went on there and looked at it. Now, let me see.
I just clicked on it, and it is Forever Rain.
When I clicked on it, The Beautiful Name by the Hillsong.
That's bizarro. Okay, well, anyway, I'm trying to find, there's one that's a little bit longer version, and I'm trying to find it, and I'm not able to find it, and I'm not even sure if I know how to share.
Okay, well, just hang on, I'll find it. Somebody else talk a minute.
I'll see if I can find it. If I can find it, I'll send you the link to it, too.
Forever Rain, is that the name of the song, Missy?
No, What a Beautiful Name.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I know that one. I was thinking there was another one you said. Okay.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay, I got it. Hang on, y'all. Let's see. Share. Share computer sound. Share that. And share. Okay, here's a good song. Talking about what we've been talking about. Uh-oh.
That was me by accident.
See it?
Thank you. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get something going here and I'm failing miserably. I don't know what this thing's doing here.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name.
Did y'all hear that okay? Whoa, can y'all hear that? Let me turn it off. Sorry about that. That's another good song, though. Amen. Okay. Everybody like that? I hope the quality was acceptable. Nobody liked it. Oh, man. Okay. Next time it's bluegrass, boys. Okay. All right. Now, what time? Okay, we still got a lot of time left. What we want to talk about? Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Yeah, Pat. Why am I not surprised?
Am I running my mouth too much?
No, you're not. You go ahead.
No. When you asked me that question, I know that I was thinking of that verse. Remember when I think it was when Jesus, I think I brought this up before. For whatever reason, this story always kind of hit me. And that was the time when Jesus was at dinner with some of the Pharisees. And he was having dinner or whatever. And this woman came in off the street, must have been a harlot or something, and crawled up to his feet and was washing his feet with her tears. And I think, and of course he didn't rebuke her, and that made the Pharisees mad. You know, they immediately started to think in their heart, you know, if this guy really knew what he was doing and was really connected with God, he would know what kind of a woman this was or whatever was touching him. And I take that story, and then I also go back and I think of that one where Jesus was looking at these two people praying. In the square, one was a Pharisee, and he was, you know, praising God for not being like the other people or whatever. And then the publican was on his face, that he wouldn't even look up at God. He just asked God for forgiveness. And when you brought that that question out, and I have to say that I was seeing myself as I'm probably an introspective person and tend to take condemnation really quick, jump on that bus real quick. But I think it seems like in the last years, I've just been seeing more and more of my own failure, to live up to God's perspective, his standard or whatever. And I'm sure there's all kinds of theological, you know, reasons for that and whatnot, but I tend to see myself as that guy, and for some reason in the last 10 or 15 years I've actually felt it, where I've felt that it's hard to lift my eyes up, because I tend to focus or maybe have that perspective against myself, that introspective look at myself and see all my failures and lack, all my shortcomings and whatever. And so I tend to relate to those people that are laying at Jesus' feet, weeping and thanking him for his incredible mercy and patience and love, that he looked at that woman and he told that disciple, though this woman's sins are many, because of her great love, she is forgiven. And it stymies me. It's hard to fathom sometimes when you think about the Lord, that it's, I don't know if it's like a dichotomy or something, that we are so unworthy in our particular state, yet God continues to look upon us and pour grace and love into our hearts that keeps us responding back to him. And I think that when I think about that, I think he has created us, all of us, for a specific reason and a specific purpose. And that when we see him in the flesh, I think of that scripture, and what is it in Revelation that says that he will give them a name that only he which receives it knows. You remember what that scripture is? I think it's in Revelation 3 or something like that. But the work and the creation that God has put forth in you and in me, he's created us to respond to him in a certain fashion, in a certain way. And I believe that that response that we are able to respond back to him in our love that he's put in our heart will be part of that name, that when he says that name, we're going to know exactly what he's talking about, because he's worked it in our hearts for so very, very long, many years. So therefore, when you say, how would I introduce myself? I feel a little vacant to come up with a good line, so to speak. And I guess that's just the way I'm feeling when you say that. But anyway, I had to toss that out, toss it in the mix.
Okay, Missy, go ahead.
It's funny. I turned looking for this, and the first place I looked down on this page looking for the verse that he was talking about the new stone and new name or whatever, stone and new name, I looked right at it. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. Yeah.
I mean, what's that name?
New name, Jesus. Jesus, nature, character, and authority. New name, a new nature. New name, new nature, character, and authority.
That's it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yep.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'm sure before you even can start to introduce yourself, Jesus knows your heart, so there shouldn't be any, or there couldn't be any agenda. You know what you, your feelings, your obedience, your worship against would be to him, so you will be... doesn't have any agenda, so it's, I think it's like that woman who sits at his feet, it says, washing his feet, he knows her heart, she doesn't have to wash his feet, but you know, he knows her heart, why she's doing it.
Yeah, Missy.
I got a good question. You asked what is the name, but okay, what's it talking about here? Because I never really thought about it a whole lot, you know. I kind of often wondered what it means, what it meant, but I just looked at it and I thought, you know, and I think the Lord showed me what it means. I think I know what I think it means, but I went to ask this, see what everybody else thinks. The part that says, upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth, but he that receiveth it. What's it mean by which no one knoweth, but he that receiveth it? What's that mean?
Okay, somebody. Go, Andrew. I thought you raised, yeah, go ahead, brother.
And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Same apostle too. John 1:12. So I don't know if that answers the question, but you've received him.
Okay. Did that answer your question, Missy?
That's
not really.
Well, I know what I feel like the Lord showed me, but it's just interesting to see what other people, you know, think.
Okay. Everybody else want
means.
What did he show you?
Let me see if I can put it into words. Which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. No one knows it except those who know him. It's kind of like what comes to me is in 1 Corinthians. But he that receiveth it, the name, you know it because you know him, because you know his nature, character, and authority. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the end there. verse 12, for we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. That's what it makes me think of.
Okay. I was reading something there that pertains to that too. In Revelation 3:12, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, in my own new name. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
What did you say that reference was again?
Revelation chapter 3, verse chapter 12. Three.
Okay. Yeah.
3 and 12. Okay, anybody else? Go ahead, Pat.
Mike, I'd like to just read a scripture. The Lord has been I haven't been, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to. I finally am able to download or get the podcasts, but now I'm finding that it's not downloading or it's not pushing them to my computer as they come up. So I have to figure out what's going on there. So anyway, on the way to work, I've been listening all week to the message, Sanctification Before Blessing. And the Lord has been, I guess I've been on this sanctification and one being at one with God and one in body, soul, and spirit. I've been kind of going through that whole process or thinking about that related to the promise of the new covenant described in Ezekiel 37. But I ended up on these verses in John, and it was John, Jesus' prayer before Gethsemane. And anyway, he's praying to the Father, and in verse 19 of John 17, he said, "And for their this is in the midst of his prayer, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected or completed into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and lovest them, and even as thou lovest me." And then it goes on. But the thing that is hitting me lately is this perfected in one. I know a week or so ago I read that some of those writings from John Wesley and some of his reading, and it's talking about in that story that I mentioned about the unmixedness or the removal of the unpure or impure in our heart to create a unity of our spirit, our heart, in unity with God, that type of thing. So I feel like I'm on the dark side of that understanding, but I remember back in the early 80s when I was seeking the Holy Spirit in the Baptist Church, which is almost a contradiction of terms, but it was but that's when it was happening, and the Lord was taking me through this Ezekiel 37 at that time. And it seems like the Lord's showing me specifics about that now. And it's all related to being one inside of us, in our heart, not being double-hearted, but singleness of heart. And God, through his new covenant, basically providing that promise in the removal of our old nature, our old sin man. Excuse me. And so I just wanted to point it out in this prayer that
the power of that is what Jesus was praying for, that power of that oneness of spirit with him in that unity, is that very thing that convinces the world of the reality of God, I think. I guess that's just where I'm at right now. How to get to that place, I'm still banging on the door. So, amen.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I've got that really like highlighted here. And I have a little footnote, see John 16:17. And that's where Jesus was saying, some of his disciples therefore said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us? A little, and ye shall behold me not, and again a little, and ye shall see me." And what he was actually talking about there was this oneness that he was talking about here in this prayer here. Because these guys were going to get the Comforter and the Holy Spirit at that time and see him through that, as we all do here. You know, and I just had that little footnote put in there. And because, you know, some people might think that he appears to them later again, like in John. But I don't think he was really referring to that. I think he was referring to more of the Jesus within them. And that's of course, what Pat was explaining. But, you know, at this point in time, they didn't really understand what he was saying. But in this prayer, it would be a giveaway, you know, like it is when you read it. Anyway.
Amen. I believe that too. I believe I see talking about Jesus in us, perfected. 1 Corinthians 3:18. You know, looking in the mirror, seeing Jesus. And we do it by faith, and that's a progressive walk. And it's by faith that we do it. Praise God. Amen. That book,
Sanctification Before Blessing.
Before Blessing, yeah. Before Blessing. That is a good book. I really enjoyed that when we went through it in the Bible study. Because it tells you the effects of a group of people in fellowship that are seeking to be sanctified and what happens when not everybody is sanctified. You know, so we all want the blessings. Praise God. Go ahead, Pat.
I was seeing that, and as I was reading that, that's the first time I read that or listened to that message. That's exactly the way I took it the first time, but it seems like this time through I'm taking it at more as a that sanctification related to the old sinful nature, flesh man. In other words, it's an internal thing that's just time that I'm the way I'm taking it this time for.
Amen.
For some reason.
Well, I guess it's a good reason. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Yeah. What kind of... Let's see. What time is it? Got about 4 minutes. Anybody got a prayer request? Boy, gloves. Before we get out of here. Listen, do y'all like this the way we've been doing it here, just praying and just coming in and asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. I do. I like it. You know, if y'all like it, fine. We'll keep on with that. But, you know, it helps when everybody prays. and praise God. I know that sometimes that I do it to the last minute. Y'all, I know y'all ain't last minute prayers, but sometimes I do. But I'm going to make a concerted effort for this whole weekend to pray for this conference call, because I believe it's an important outreach, because we're not the only ones that listen to this thing. There's many, many, many people that listen to this thing. Y'all won't believe the emails that I get sometimes, you know, about questions about what we talked about on this conference call. So, yeah, it's important. Okay. Pat, do you mind if I ask you to close us out with prayer?
No, I couldn't do that. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your closeness, your spirit you've given us to guide us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, that you prayed for us to be one even as you are one with the Father. And Lord, I just ask that you would open up our eyes of understanding and allow us to perceive what you meant by that, what you mean by that, not only in the whole body around the world and in our group here, but also within ourselves, Lord. Because I believe that you are creating an enlightenment within us, Lord, to bring us into that oneness, that true one, perfect, complete unity, spirit, soul, and body in with you, Lord, that we enter into you just as the Psalm 91 promises, that secret place of the Most High, Lord, which is within us, the kingdom of God within us. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us. Lord, bless us with this perspective, your perspective. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might walk even as you walked, effortlessly in the truths of your word, and to be able to share your word, your truth, and your life with all of those around us, Lord. Thank you for the problems that you brought into our lives, and the issues and the things that we need to overcome, even as you overcame, and you teach us how to overcome these things, Lord, that we might have the wherewithal to share with others the things and the graces and the truths that you have poured into our heart, Lord. So we thank you for that. Thank you for blessing us with this time. Just bless each one of my brothers and sisters to go out and be refreshed, be in peace, rest in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Everybody's unmuted again.
Amen.
Amen. Good night.
See you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.